answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There are three individuals who call New York home. We don't know whether those individuals will be returning to New York. I believe that there's a 42-day monitoring period, and they can decide whether they want to do that in Nebraska or come back and make other accommodations. But my health department, my departments, all have been involved with the CDC from the beginning, and I want to make sure that the CDC is capable of handling something should it grow larger than they're predicting. You know, we have outstanding researchers here in the state of New York, scientists. Our Wadsworth Laboratory is second to none, so I've activated them to start preparing New York for worst-case scenarios and hope they don't come. But I cannot, as governor, not be prepared for anything that could happen. And again, given our concern about Washington, that I have to step up and make sure that New York is helping lead the way here.
Oh, my God, they're going into fright mode again. It's not surprising we're nearing the midterm elections. We saw this the last time Trump was in office, COVID. And COVID was a legitimate scare across the nation. We're not at a pandemic or epidemic level of any type regarding hantavirus. Hantavirus broke out on a cruise ship. And it was a very small cruise ship in the Canary Islands, about 100 on board. Now, we'll point this out to you. Hantavirus is basically spread from what is called deer mouse. Their feces, their saliva, any urine they leave behind. If you come in contact with it, you might indeed have hantavirus. A 20-year study found 630 deaths in the nation in that period of time. 630. The major outbreaks have occurred west of the Mississippi. In fact, 90%+ west of the Mississippi. Let me think of my geography here for a moment. Where is New York City compared to the Mississippi? Oh, it's east. Hantavirus breaks out often in the desert areas and in some shacks, as you might call them, and even in some nice homes if rats get in and they are carrying the disease. It might also be spread not only to you coming in contact with saliva or rat droppings, but by fleas. But the bottom line is this is nowhere like COVID. And yet they're beginning to weaponize it again. I'm going to repeat what Donald Trump said yesterday. Do not comply. If they start trying to make a lockdown, which it sounds like New York State's going to do it, we might have to change our election. She came this close to saying we might have to redirect the midterm election to make sure everyone is safe. Those who were on that cruise ship obviously were at a risk. 19 Americans were on it. They have been brought back to Nebraska originally, placed in a quarantine center just to be checked again, and then released for home care. There were 3 deaths out of some 9 or 10 people that were identified with hantavirus on that cruise ship. Now, I will be the first to admit, and we used to have it a lot in the early days of the U.S. when we have ships coming in from all over the world docking. You ever looked at those long ropes that tie the ships to the pier? There would often be a large metal collar that was put on there to keep rats from leaving the ship, coming to shore, and any rats from the shore going up the rope to the ship. This is not the same thing as COVID. But as I also point out, for the Democrats and the leftists, don't let the facts get in the way of a good narrative. And that's where we are right now. They are going to continue to manufacture this and create a bigger scare as much as they possibly can. And a lot of people are going to be frightened. I know that. I know, and I'm not dismissing what could be happening. I do not want to do that. I don't want you to just say, oh, it's indifferent to me. Well, it may not be. Health standards around you might be affecting it. If you live in a dilapidated area, if you live in the country, you might well have a greater increase of coming across Hantavirus. There was an outbreak in the four corners of our U.S., and again, that's far west, certainly west of the Mississippi. This was decades ago. And again, I want to restate, out of a 20-year study, less than 700 died from Hantavirus. And many of them probably had complicating conditions, or they were vulnerable in some other way to begin with. Again, I'm not trying to minimize what they went through. But good Lord, do not let them play the boogeyman on you this time. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Did you miss the first hour? You missed a great program. Believe me. Now, I know you can't listen all the time. But our story behind the story today was the John Birch Society, how it was founded, what it stands for, and was it really a precursor for the current MAGA movement and Donald Trump? Pull up the podcast. Go to Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. I see more and more of you are doing that. And I see more and more of you watching our live stream feed. We are video streaming while I'm on the air right now. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And if you do miss anything, everything goes up as a podcast later at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any podcast outlet you want. With Larry Connors USA, every day you get news, analysis, commentary, and education. And in our next segment, a frightening piece of education for you, but you need to hear it. There's a video game that's being pushed around in front of your children titled A Night at Epstein's Mansion. What the hell? We're going to get into that later. Now, you've heard the New York governor say, well, we're going to take all precautions. And I understand her saying we're going to take precautions, but all she had to do was add and then conclude with the fact it is not a real serious threat, but we're going to be aware and watching it. It's like a small fire burning. It's a dumpster fire. But it might destroy all of New York. Not likely. But she would not add a cautionary note. She wants to push the alarm button. Push that button and that bell over and over again. So how about a little balance from our Assistant Secretary of Health?
I want to provide probably the primary message here this afternoon is I want the American people to know that the risk of Americans getting the Hantavirus, this Andes variant, is very, very, very low. Oh. I also want the people to know that across the HHS, we are absolutely coordinating within HHS. We're speaking to each other across the different divisions. We are coordinating with state and local health officials. This is an all hands on deck effort. The American people have a very low risk. We are doing everything right. This is public health service at its best.
And that is fact. Not couched in fear the sky's falling. I told you I grew up in West Texas. I remember a couple of cases of Hantavirus being reported. We didn't go into fear. And I don't know if anyone died at that point from it or just got sick. And again, many who die from it actually have some other illnesses as well. It becomes a respiratory illness. But you get the same thing. You get the same thing if you're out swooping up and cleaning up pigeon droppings around your garage or some building. Oh, gives me a perfect example to remind you. One of my sponsors can help you do that in a safe way. Wellington Environmental. They come in and they clean that kind of stuff up so you don't have to. They provide healthcare services like that for hospitals, nursing homes, and everything else. So if you suspect there's hantavirus or pigeon droppings you need to get rid of, don't mess with it yourself. Call Wellington. They'll take care of it. All right, President Trump is now in China.
And here's the president exiting the plane now, going to come down those steps to this particular ceremony that we're going to see here. Jonathan, we had just had Janice explain to us tomorrow is really where we'll see a lot of that pomp and circumstance when he actually meets with Xi Jinping, when the two of them are together. But walk us through what we're going to see here in this moment and just how significant it is, the president stepping onto Chinese soil.
Yeah, I mean, as your colleague said, this is the first time we've had a U.S. president visiting China in nearly a decade, right? And President Trump was the last one to make this trip back in 2017. So this is fairly momentous, just the mere fact of the trip actually happening, right? And it is a shift in the overall tenor and vibe for the U.S.-China relationship, because after that trip in 2017, you, of course, had the trade war with Washington, between Washington and China. And then throughout the Biden administration, whenever there were encounters between the two presidents, it was always in third countries, right? I think there was a real hesitation on both sides to engage in this kind of reciprocal visit, especially since the relationship was in such a tense period, right? So again, I think this really shows a shift. And again, almost back to an earlier era.
In other words, we're doing well as we can be expected right now. And that was a CNN true news report without a lot of spin and bias on it. But beware of what's coming next. In the meantime, Connecticut Democrat Senator Murphy says Trump has made Iran stronger than ever.
I think Trump has grown bored of this. I think he has dug himself a hole that he doesn't know how to get out of. You know, effectively now, they have made this commitment that they are going to stay in this war, this blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. Remember, it is now not just the Iranians that are blockading ships coming out of the Strait, but it's the United States, too. Until Iran agrees to a nuclear deal that is better than the one that Obama signed. That is not likely ever going to happen. And even if it were to come to pass, it won't happen anytime soon. So, yes, it looks like we're going to be stuck exactly where we are. And being stuck for another couple months is catastrophic, not just because the mounting oil prices here at home are going to have a compounding effect on families and farms and businesses, but because lots of stuff in the world is made out of oil. And you are already starting to see plastics, different components of fabrics, the things that go into semiconductors, starting to have supply chain crunches as well. And so pretty soon this becomes a global cost crisis beyond just the price it costs you to fill up your tank.
Now, that's true. I'm not going to deny what he's saying, except for the fact that, again, he believes everything Trump has been doing has made Iran stronger.
Iran is 2 to 3 times more powerful today than they were when this war started. Everyone now
really,
has
really
to come
think that?
To Tehran.
2 to 3 times.
You're
well,
lying.
I mean, everyone
You're
has
lying.
To come to Tehran today to beg for their ships to be let out of the Gulf. Not small nations, big nations, right? The Chinese, the Indians, the Qataris have to show up to Iran to plead their case as to why their ships should be let through. And that's probably going to be how things work for the foreseeable future. And so Iran was really a regional power. Why I say they are 2 or 3 times more powerful today is that by putting them in a position where they could close the strait, we have now made them a global power. Now every country has to come to Iran and cut a deal in order to let their ships go through. That's a kind of power that Iran didn't have or couldn't have imagined until we put them in this position.
And that is wrong, wrong, wrong. They have been firing on their enemies, the United Arab Emirates, firing at them and firing on their ships and others. They're not going to go to them and beg for give us a lower toll-free to go past you on international waters. But there's no one on that interview with him on MSN Now that has the cojones to ask tough questions, pointing out that many of the other Arab states, Saudi Arabia included, they're fed up with Iran. They don't care what happens to Iran. They do not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon either. We are all together on that point. We do not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And every peace proposal that we send to them or they send us, on our top list is no nuclear weapon production continuation. On their list, it's nowhere. They do say, oh, it's buried so deep we can never get to it. Well, then let us come see that and verify that it's buried and reburied. They're not going to do that. And in the meantime, as I pointed out yesterday, the leadership, the real leadership, and I don't know who the hell's leading right now, but those who think they might be next to be tossed out if there's a regime or a decapitation by the U.S. or Israel, they're headed to Russia. They're going to safety. They're going to go get some big villa and live in luxury the rest of their lives. They do not care about their people. So that's why they're not worried about what happens to their economy, and it's gone to hell. And yes, the U.S. economy has taken a downpour. I told you in the earlier hour I would cover this. The core CPI, the inflation core, excludes food and energy, and it went up 0.4% in April. Shelter is also a large component of the index, which is included. Rent and owner's equivalent rent also going up. Now, Breitbart says, here's the way they write it. This is a conservative publication. We better hope that April showers bring May flowers, because last month we got drenched in inflation. Yes, consumer prices up 3.8% from 3.3% in March. But again, they included the core index, which is normally taken out, the cost of fuel and groceries. I just want you to know what the fact is, and you make your own mind up. And now comes the scary part of the program. Plans to market to your children a video game called A Night at Epstein's. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guest has a subject that I'm telling you, when you hear about it, you think this cannot possibly be true. A new online game being pushed to children, often without their parents being aware of it. Five Nights at Epstein's. Jeff Dornick is the tech CEO at TruePlay, which is considered the world's leading faith-based video gaming platform for children. Jeff, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So when I say Five Nights at Epstein's, I get some very scary feelings about this going into the hands of children.
Yeah, same. On one hand, you know, even outside of the theme, I think that we have to be very careful about the fact that I think children are on a lot of these gaming platforms way too young. It becomes very addictive. There are studies that actually show that it severely limits their brain development and speech development and all that. But then you get into this type of a themed game. I mean, when you actually look at what they're talking about within here, I mean, this is worse than like Grand Theft Auto, which is pretty deplorable when you actually think about it.
Right.
And I think that what's happening is there is this desensitizing that's happening specifically with our children. And I think that a lot of parents think, oh, well, this is pretend. This is fake. This is fiction or a fictionalized version of whatever it is. It's just a game. It's not going to translate into real life. But when you get these dopamine hits based upon these very sinister, deep, depraved themes, it's no wonder that our society is becoming more depraved as every generation comes out.
And I want to go into that in more detail. But before I do, I want the parents to understand that their kids might be exposed to it on school-issued tablets, and they're exposed to it during school hours.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing is that, you know, with schools implementing technology to the degree that they are, I think that this is a natural byproduct of that. Where they're trying to teach kids how to use iPads and how to use, you know, smartphones and how to use computers and all that. But when you do, you're opening up these 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old kids to all sorts of things that are both good and bad. And we haven't even gotten into that a lot of these gaming platforms actually open you up to having conversations with other people outside of just yourself or your family.
And they're not kids.
Predatory behavior.
They're not kids.
Exactly.
You may be communicating with pedophiles.
Exactly. And there's entire pedophile rings that target these kids. And they're grooming them specifically because they know that they're on there. They know that they're impressionable, and they know how to manipulate them.
All right, you take the old games and our horror movies of Freddy Krueger, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, things like that. Horrifying, yes. Scary, yes. But this is going to the extra level. Sexual fantasy being involved, and basically kids must survive attacks from characters depicting Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. It's just insane that you would have and allow kids to actually engage with this type of a theme. And again, it's all it's doing is it's desensitizing them. And it's really interesting because you mentioned, you know, some of like the old, you know, movies, and I would even argue a lot of the old video games. Like if you go back, you know, 20, 30 years or more, you know, the movies, even the scary movies or the bloody movies, there was still this sense of like good versus evil. Like, right. Like Rambo was very violent, but you know, it was good versus evil. You know, like I grew up when I was a kid, you know, we had like Nintendo 64 and you had the 007, you know, video game. And so you would go around, it was definitely action and violence and all that, but you were the good guy working for the government to try to take out the terrorists. Like that's a different kind of training than dealing with like dealing with pedophile predators like Jeffrey Epstein or these Grand Theft Auto games where you're literally playing the gangster, mobster, mafia guy. That's a completely different, you know, type of dopamine hit, and it's I think it's desensitizing our children to actual morals and actually right versus wrong. And we're seeing this in movies, we're seeing this in video games.
And things have changed. I think my biggest fear was being beaten in on Pong. I mean, that was it. But we do have in these things dark, sexualized, exploitive games. And again, it is to entice children to come a little closer, They're warned all the time generally about don't talk to strangers. Well, we know that often strangers are not their greatest enemy. But aside from that, if they find a kid that is kind of lost, at odds with the parents, doesn't feel they're socializing with anyone else, if they don't turn to trying to shoot up a school, they turn into something like this.
Right. Well, you know, and I think also there is a reason why a lot of the school shooters were loners playing violent video games, and then they would be activated on platforms like Discord from anonymous accounts. And it's because they're impressionable. They're already getting their dopamine hits from violence. A lot of them feel like they don't have support. A lot of them don't feel like they have value. And then it's very easy to take the next step of taking it from the digital virtual world into reality. And again, that's not to say that this happens to everybody, but when you're dealing with specific kids with probably mental illness, and they probably dealt with abuse, there's certain scenarios that set this up, and then you implement these types of games, I mean, all sorts of horrible things can happen in real life.
Now, again, these kids, the parents probably think they're keeping a good eye on them, but you can't watch your kid all the time, especially now that most of them have cell phones and the tablets, so they have access to this. And they hear from some other kid, and they end up downloading and putting it on. I mean, what can parents do?
They could completely cut them off from technology. I mean, you know, like, and again, I have a 4-year-old son, and he's the only one among all of his friends that doesn't actually watch screens at all, doesn't play on an iPad, doesn't play on a phone, doesn't watch TV. And you know, in all reality, I think a lot of it is that when you look at studies, their brain development it far exceeds those that are watching screens. Their speech is far more developed than those who watch screens, and I can see that in my son compared to a lot of his peers. And I think that, you know, for a lot of parents, they feel like hopeless. Like, I don't know how to keep my kids safe. I don't know how to, you know, they're on TikTok, they're on social media. I'm like, you could take the phone away. There's a phone called the Gab phone that doesn't allow them access to apps that you could get. There's all different things that you can do. You're like, oh, well, they'll get on the internet. Turn the internet off. Turn it into an Ethernet. Don't use Wi-Fi. There's all things that you can do if you have the will to do it. And don't feel like that you have to give them a phone. They don't need a phone. If they do, make sure that it's a type of phone that they can't download apps, they can't communicate with other people. Right. You got to focus on keeping your kids safe first and foremost.
And I want to point out again, you're listening to Jeff Dornick. He's the tech CEO of TruePlay. You guys have a faith-based video gaming platform. A lot of folks are saying you're indoctrinating kids with your programs.
Yeah, well, so I actually run a social media platform called Pickaxe, but I'm good friends with the team at TruePlay.
I think that in all reality,
especially the guys over at TruePlay, you know, they're focused on developing games that that are actually educational and teach right and wrong and morals, kind of like what we were talking about. And I think that's so important to have. And I think that in general, you know, for me too, I've seen, you know, building a social media platform, it's one of the reasons why I require you to be at least 18 years old in order to join our social media platform, not because of mature adult content, but because I don't think that it's appropriate for children to be exposed to social media in this way.
I'm sorry, in the last minute, how do you verify that they are of age? How do you verify that?
Sure. So you would submit an ID. We verify it, and then that way we're
what
able
ID?
To know
what
that
ID does a kid have at 18? What ID would they have? Now maybe a driver's license, but even if they do, then they can give it to a sibling younger.
Right. Well, so for us, what we would do is we would verify the name on the account with the ID, make sure it matches. I'm sure that there's different ways that you can try to circumvent that. Right. I'm sure. But in general, if a kid wants to get on the platform, then they wouldn't be able to.
All right, Jeff Dornick with Pickaxe. And again, thank you for clarifying. But I do appreciate you filling in because the CEO of TruePlay could not join us, and you made all the points we needed. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. I know when my girls, they wanted to watch TV late, and they're talking about 8, 10, maybe 10, 12. Said no TV past 8 o'clock. Now, you can read all night long. All night long? And we can stay awake and read all night long, right, Dad? Yes, you can. You go in 5 minutes later, you know the story. They're passed out. Now, coming up, we've got more for you, and that includes the numbers are not looking good for Democrats despite all the gerrymandering efforts they've got underway. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Surely that same poll would show Democrats with a big advantage in the race for Congress.
You would think, but I think this poll serves as a big-time reality check for Democrats, and that is, it ain't over yet, especially with the redistricting when we look ahead to the 2026 race for Congress. You would have thought that the Democrats' lead would expand on the generic congressional ballot. It didn't happen. Look, in March, Democrats were up by 6 points. Look at this now. Democrats are up by 3 points, and I want you to note the yellow lettering. No clear leader. It is within the margin of error. So despite all of the talk about Donald Trump's unpopularity, the fact is Republicans very much remain in the game when it comes to the congressional midterms, which are occurring in, what, 6 or 7 months at this point?
Yeah, we're getting closer. Those are the words of Harry Enten on CNN saying, despite all the efforts, all the court battles over gerrymandering, racial gerrymandering, not based on numerals, that it's looking better for Republicans. And keep in mind, just as a refresher, every congressional district should consist of about 750,000 to 800,000. And they're supposed to be contiguously drawn, not some long stretch of a spaghetti and a loop-a-loop to make sure that you include those counties, because that will be a safe district for any party, Democrat or Republican. And the Missouri Supreme Court did unanimously reject challenges to a Republican-friendly congressional map yesterday that is expected to hand the party an additional House seat in the midterms. According to the Chief Justice, the court's view of Missouri residents' appeals is limited to determining only the legality, not the prudence nor popularity of the map. This paves a way for Republicans to have a map that would break up Representative Emanuel Cleaver's seat in Missouri this November. That could certainly give the GOP an additional pickup. We've had other lawsuits as well. A lot of it centers around the Louisiana course, where the case, where the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3, you cannot draw the map strictly on racial profiling. How many blacks you got in this area? All right, well, we'll give you all that county. This again pushes a premise I pushed the other day in a commentary. This would assume that only blacks will vote for blacks. You know that's not true. And the other side of that is that whites will only vote for whites, and we know that's not true. Obama got 43%+ of the white vote when he first ran. Partly, maybe because they believe he's a better candidate, but aside from that, maybe they also want to think it was time to have a black president. I don't know the thinking on some like that. I did not vote for him. The first time? No, the second time. But the second time, I thought, now he has a chance to be a statesman. And the first 4 years, he was a divider, going around the world apologizing for anything the U.S. had done wrong to any other nations, even while defending our troops that might be in a theater somewhere. Oh, we should not have bombed you like we did. The only land our nation has ever taken from another country is to have land to bury our dead. And of course, aside from the gerrymandering, we still have a lot of politics to be run out. Do not take it for granted. Please do not take it for granted that, oh, Republicans have got this. We don't need to do anything. You might as well cast a vote for Democrats. If you're going to be absent, you're not doing your constitutional duty and right that you have. In the meantime, we are desperately trying to build up our military and in particular our Navy. Listen to the Navy Secretary about the Golden Fleet.
America's sailors and Marines are currently on the front lines of freedom in operations to protect our republic. Lincoln and Bush carrier strike groups and Tripoli amphibious ready group with the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit are in the Arabian Sea, protecting merchant ships and stopping illicit shipping by our terrorist regime. 3 weeks ago, I was tasked by President Trump to lead the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps. My three priorities are to take care of our sailors and Marines, build ships, and protect our homeland. 120 years ago, the Great White Fleet extended America's reach across the globe. We're currently at the forefront of history with a budget that will create the Golden Fleet, which renews that maritime dominance. We have an obligation to give our sailors and Marines the very best equipment to do their jobs. In our historic budget of $377.5 billion, we're adding 34 new ships, varying from small to large combatants, 123 new aircrafts, along with five unmanned ships. In 5 years, we will add 122 manned and 63 unmanned ships. We're funding the readiness of our fleet to 95%. We're procuring exquisite munitions to keep our forces outside the weapons engagement zone while investing in research and development for the fight of the future.
That is outstanding. Over the last couple of nights, out of 5,000 channels late in the night, I can't find anything worth watching. Really, out of 5,000 channels or so. So I pulled up the other night The Hunt for Red October, a Tom Clancy movie, novel originally. It was really good, obviously. And I followed that with Crimson Tide, finished that last night. I think now I'm watching, what is it, The Hunter or something like that, another submarine movie. My brother served on submarines, nuclear subs. There's some stories he said he can't share with me even now. I think he could, but I'm not going to press him. I'm going to accept his word on it. In the meantime, Spain continues to refuse to allow our nation, a NATO ally, to use bases in Spain for the war with Iran. The Spanish government, again, is opposing any effort to help us. Now, speaking of Politico, the socialist government said, we are committed to international treatment and will not abandon them, but stress that European nations will not be forced to renounce principles. So Spain refuses to allow the U.S. to use its military base. Riddle me this. What would happen if Iran turned missiles on Spain? In the meantime, China's foreign affairs arms is gloating after Beijing had a successful attempt to block the Democratic Nation of Taiwan from participating in next week's World Health Assembly. This is an annual meeting of member nations where they discuss global health concerns. Taiwan is a sovereign democrat nation off the coast of China. And it boasts one of the world's most sophisticated health monitoring systems. And part of having to respond to that 2002-2003 SARS outbreak in Asia. And in late 2019, Taiwan was the first country trying to warn the WHO about a breakout of something later called COVID, and point out that it came from Wuhan, China. That's probably why China is fighting back. In the meantime, our Health and Human Services Secretary, I should say, and JFK says, we're going to make some changes. We're going to raise the bar.
Hi, I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS Secretary. Today, we're taking action to strengthen the safety of the American food supply. Families deserve safe food. At HHS, we set that standard and we enforce it. The FDA will, for the first time, continuously review chemicals already in our food, replacing a decades-old system with continuous oversight for the first time. We will evaluate the science on an ongoing basis. We'll identify the risks earlier and will act when necessary to protect the public health.
That's good. And anything that would improve America's health is a positive. By the way, there's a little fluffer of some type going on behind the scenes, and I cannot give you any more details, but it appears the Food and Drug Administration Commissioner, Marty McCary, has resigned his position as of yesterday. There have been reports that President Trump was considering firing him. The report came as McCary had received criticism as he, quote, had yet to release a promised safety review of the abortion pill mifepristone. He told Republican senators he would pursue it during his confirmation last year. He also described as having to struggle to manage the FDA bureaucracy, failing to win the confidence of the staff after mass layoffs. McCary is a surgeon and a health research expert on COVID and others. Reporters before Trump left for China were asking, did you fire Dr. McCary or did you ask him to resign? Trump responded he did not, quote, want to say, but did say he's a friend and a wonderful man. Then added, the deputy is taking over temporarily. Everybody wants that job. I don't know if I can add any more to that. When we look across our nation, one of our greatest strengths is our nuclear family. I'm talking about a mom and a dad in a household where they're both there for all the kids. I know it's more and more difficult with the economy, and I'm not even talking about related to Iran. We have a lot of two parents working. Latchkey kids, as they have been called in the past. My dad worked in the oil field. I guess mom could have gotten some kind of job, had somebody babysit us, but she was a stay-at-home mom. And at that point, it was considered natural. Later, of course, when the Gloria Steinem feminist movement started, they were considered the scourge. You don't have either the courage or the ability to get out of the house and do something on your own. They were raising a family. That's a job in itself. And we have a lot of single-parent households out there, either by choice or by tragedy. Riley Gaines, athletic competitor, spokesman for women everywhere, had this to say about the value of moms in the home.
And why resources like moms.gov are so incredibly important, because what they're doing is they're equipping moms. They're strengthening moms. And when you strengthen moms, you strengthen families. And when you strengthen families, you strengthen communities. And when you strengthen communities, you change the culture. And when you change the culture, you win America. That's what this is about.
Yeah. Moms.gov. I'd mentioned it yesterday. I still encourage you to check it out, either for you yourself or for your daughters or granddaughters or friends. A lot of resources available to help women expecting or already having newborns or other children. Oh, take note of this. In Minnesota, there's another prime example of fraud. Criminal charges, I grant you, it's just a charge, but The granite had been laid against a Minnesota man, a massive food stamp fraud scheme, siphoning off millions in taxpayer dollars. He had Minnesota Food Grocery LLC. He used EBT credit cards registered to others to purchase items at Sam's Club and Costco and then resell them in his store. Surveillance footage and GPS data backed up what he was doing. Faces at least 20 years in prison, $100,000 in fine. Where did the money go? Well, luxury cars and houses and all the other side of the world. And Governor Wall says, I'm taking care of things. I've got things under control. No, you do not. In fact, the U.S. Attorney from Massachusetts says food stamp fraud schemes are raging across a dozen states. Every dollar stolen is money that could go to you and your family. If you look at it that way, it's not something to simply, oh, well, graft crime, it's going to happen. So if I come along and just take your wallet from you and all the money you got it, you'll be just happy? Of course you wouldn't. Oh, by the way, there's a ruling out of a South Carolina Supreme Court. I don't know all the details, but the stories I've seen up to this point, I'm asking, what? The South Carolina Supreme Court overturned the murder convictions and life sentence of lawyer Alex Murdaugh, convicted in the shooting deaths of his wife and younger son. He's not getting out of prison right away. He's also pled guilty to stealing $12 million from clients, so he's got a 40-year federal sentence, but they decided that the murder conviction is to be thrown out. Huh. We'll keep a close watch on it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.